Wait. No,
you don't see as many of your wrinkles and your blue lines and your spots, and everybody's got get this really nice, warm appearance.
Very nice. That's a nice intro, yeah. Too. We're rolling live right here with a Ponder Gander at What Matters. We're taking a Ponder Gander in perspective. This is my friend Circa Line, and that's in the title line there somewhere. I haven't done anything here since October. Felt like my voice had been gone, so I had to make it come along to a decision here to try to make these lungs work right. And Circle says, "Don't cough."
Don't cough. I'm telling you, whenever you feel the need to cough, breathe through it and just find mindfulness and find a spot and breathe through it and don't go with the coughing. You're irritating your lungs. You just want.
So it's yes, it's a lot of fun quitting, testing your perpetrude.
Yeah. So you don't have cravings.
Well, it's different now. It's like it's gone through stages. First, it was like real strong, but brief, and then it kind of dimmed down and reached just a little bit longer in length and. Now it's at the point where it's like, it's a knowing that it's not, it's diminished so much, and that call of the craving is kind of like, it's a lie, right? It's not going to give the satisfaction, and so you just retrain from the mind to the body, I guess.
Yeah. So, do you think you're, Do you think that your coughing is actually helping you?
I'm coughing less. I would say probably than when
no,
I'm
the other way around.
There's still coughs left inside. Yeah, it helps because there's stuff in your lungs that you want to expel.
Okay. No, but it doesn't. Okay, here's the thing. It doesn't work that way. Coughing does not help your lungs. It just makes it generate more slime and all that phlegm and all that. And you make scratches on your lungs, so you don't want to do that. But I'm asking you, do you think that the coughing helps you to realize how nasty smoking really is?
Yeah, definitely.
So it becomes a bad memory to you instead of something that's nice.
Right, exactly, huh? Yeah.
And maybe that is helping you to not get the craving so much, because then you start coughing and then you remember, oh wait, it's doing this to me, so I don't want to smoke.
Yeah, I smoked a long, long time too. I got some good practice though in 2017. I quit for a while back in Tennessee, so I knew what to expect this time.
Yeah.
It's not so bad, really. Yeah, it's just got to realize that it's not, I don't know.
No, one thing that, because it's an interesting study in how habits and programming works on humans, right? The whole smoking thing. Because it shows the greatness of our way to make dissonance on things. You know, how we cope with dissonance. Because I'm a smoker and I know it's bad. I'm not an idiot, right? So I know it's bad. I know what it does for me. I can understand that. And yet I still smoke, right? So in me, I have a dissonance. I have a way of coping with that dissonance where that programming that I go to, it's nice, I'm going to do it to myself, even though I know it's bad. That's interesting because that's a lot of programming.
Do you cough?
No.
Hey, my levels look, let's see how my levels look.
I don't, as a general rule, I don't go with coughing. Because it's not healthy to cough. It's not doing good for you.
Well, the Chinese say that they don't like a fan blowing on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they use candles or not, but it'd be like maybe that's what
John got himself.
Yeah, I thought I'd work that back in there. Yeah, a candle in the wind.
Yeah,
that's we're looking into life today, you and I. And Ponder Gander in perspective. I thought that rolled out rather nice.
Yes. Where I come from, in my little part of the world, a big part of our culture is a thing called hygge. and it's, you don't have a word for it. The closest you get to it is cozy, but here it's a really big thing.
How do you say it again?
Hygge.
Hygge.
Hygge. And it's, and hygge is, that's candles and warm blankets and home woolen socks.
Oh, nice.
It's being together with the people you love, doing nothing but have a meal. Or it's having a nice cup of coffee with yourself that you spend time and effort making nice for you. It's things we do together. It's a mood. It's all those things that you do to make a comfortable spot or a moment in your day with people you like.
You know, that's perfect. Would you do me a favor? Would you type that word and then let me just grab that right now, and then when we close out the show, would you type that definition right there? I like that for what this show is today.
We have it in, it comes in hygge, which is
perfect. It comes in hygge.
Yeah.
I love
but
it.
But you also have hyggelig. That's like a sweater that's really warm and fuzzy. People will say, "Oh, that's a hyggelig sweater you got there." Or, I had a hyggely evening.
Right? I love it.
Yeah.
Right,
so that's why candles is not a chick thing here. It's very
I can't copy.
Common.
I can't copy and paste out of wire for some reason.
Oh, where you want it?
Drop it in the chat. Yeah, I can't copy nor paste in there. Why isn't am I not over here? That ain't working. No. Come here, you. You're in the wrong spot. There we go. Thank you. Got it. That's two words, right?
Yeah, because you both use it as something you do and something that it was, right?
I'm gonna have.
To or you meet a coworker you really liked, randomly, and you give them a warm hug. And say, how are you? And then you'll end up with saying, oh, wow, that was a hygge-ly, conversation. Thank
hygge-ly.
You. Right?
It comes in hygge-ly. I like that. Yeah, it comes in hygge-ly.
Yeah. But it's a really big thing, part of the culture I'm from. So that's why candles is not... that's something everybody does.
I've got the blog page here that I started, so I'm copying and pasting in there. It comes in hugely. So I've got what this is, a circle lines perspectives. It comes in hugely. I say that word again, hugely?
Hugely.
Hugely. It comes in hugely. That's good.
But it's interesting because I think maybe you should just cough and cough and cough all that you can. So that go for it. So that you keep coughing forever and ever, so you won't smoke again. Because I think your coughing is programming you to understand that smoking is bad.
Yeah, it is terrible bad. What a waste. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't see. I'm not there, Vinny.
Huh?
I'm programmed where smoking is hygge-ligt.
Exactly. See, I had to come to not to want to. I might like to, but
I don't smoke a lot when I'm alone.
Nice.
I smoke
Thank
more
you,
when
Sock.
I'm with people.
Thanks, Sock. Google Trends gave it.
But see, you don't really have a word for it, so.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to ask for you to type all that. That was a very nice, snuggles and blankets and stuff. I think it's a very, very descriptive, good word.
But what we're doing right now is hygge-ly to me. I'm having a nice conversation in a quiet moment with a person I really like.
Yeah, I love you.
I love you too, Winnie. Mm-hmm. So, but interesting, because I really think that your coughing is programming your body into associating smoking with something bad.
Yeah, but I always cough anyways. So.
Yeah. Oh, you cough a lot then.
Yeah.
Stop coughing.
Smoking
then.
Weed.
Really?
Wham. That's a lot of coughing.
You should stop.
If you ever vape, wham. Don't ever do the bigger one of them things. ain't crazy about that vaping business, no doubt.
But you can control coughing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can control farting, too, but yeah, I... Who doesn't like farting? Come on. I had beans and taters last night. What do you think I was doing in the middle of last night? there's that.
So what do you do when you get a craving, Vinny?
I just know that it ain't going to fix it, and I already realized that it's already done for. So it doesn't do any good to give in, because what's it going to fix? And then...
Do you grow up and do something then? Something completely different or something?
I don't have any.
Just to
kind
get
of,
away from it?
No, I don't. I did. What I did do is I didn't set any exactitudes or rules. Only that I would want to quit smoking, and so I do. I might sometimes think that I would like to have a cigarette, but now I've gone to the point where I know it would be like. Like my friend last night, oh, come on, what, you want a drag of this? I said, really, honestly, it looks like that tastes like crap. And he was all like, had it pinched between his fingers and just sucking that last few drags down on it, you know, where it gets the little hot box to, oh, burn, nasty, yeah. No, smoking? No, it's becoming very, foreign thinking, in a way.
But you see, you can use neuro-linguistic programming, which is what you're kind of doing, just not consciously, right? But you can use that NLP neuro-linguistic programming to stop smoking. All the people I know who stopped smoking had success with it. Most of them read the book Finally Non-Smoker by Alan Carr. You heard about that?
Uh-uh.
No, but the trick is, it's a whole book that's just going to program you into smoking is really horrible. It stinks. It harms you. It harms people around you. It harms the planet in the way that people are now growing tobacco instead of food. It goes to over and over and repeats it and repeats it. And the trick is, as long as you're reading the book from you started to the finish, you have
that's
to
so
smoke.
Good.
Yeah, but then you have to smoke. You can't stop smoking until you reach the end of the book. So what it does is, while you are being programmed with how horrible smoking is, it forces you to smoke at the same time. And then you generate a body memory of, I don't want to do this. I have to smoke, but I don't want to. It's making me sick. I don't want to do it. And once you go through that phase for long enough that it takes you to read the book, and then you can finally quit smoking. The people say that who did this, that it feels like they are finally reaching that moment where I get to stop smoking.
Yeah, I think I've got way past that, wherever it would be, that halfway point or whatever. It's like well into the having it behind. It's less of an issue. I'll tell you, like last night, woke up like I do through the night and got me a big old drink of water. And used to, it'd be like, I would be ready for a smoke. And I noticed last night, it was like, huh, that's cool. So it's what I've been looking at is that craving and trying to reestablish what it is and understand it's like an itch, you know, like from healing. It's the same thing. So realizing that it is not a satisfaction to tear the scab off, right, in a sense, you know, then you have to have more healing come about. You keep tearing the scab off. So just realize it's healing and reinterpret that signal that it's sending the craving. And then realize that it's not, it's a conditioned response. It's like that addiction says, hey, remember? Hey, remember? And it's like, this gets less louder, but it might go, yeah. And like, remember. It doesn't stop that. It just changes because it's going to call differently. And then finally, after you stop responding to as many calls as it can think to get you to come have a cigarette, and you responding in your mind by realizing it's just, it's not something that your body's really calling for.
No.
Yeah.
And I haven't had the nerves to read that Ellen Carr book. I don't want to quit smoking right now.
See, that's,
so I haven't read it. I haven't
me.
Read it.
Yeah, that's the same with Bob. I didn't want to quit.
Yeah, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for it. Maybe one day I will be, and then I will do the Ellen Carr book. Or a Dane made another version of it that's not as tough and boot camp-like, but it's sort of the same. He didn't write a book because it's way too simple. What you do is that you tell yourself, I can smoke as many cigarettes as I want to, and you allow to smoke cigarettes, but whenever you are smoking a cigarette, you have to stand all alone outside, find somewhere where it's freezing and windy cold or something, and you have to stare into a corner or a wall, and you can't think about anything else than here I'm standing all alone smoking a cigarette. And that's what you have to do every time you smoke. But you can smoke as much as you want. And most of the people who did this that I've heard of, they quit smoking. Or they went down to one or two cigarettes a day because it was really boring and inconvenient, and you have to be out there and you have to be all alone and you have to control your thoughts back to the smoke, back to the smoke. So it gets boring, right?
Yeah.
And that's another way of using NLP to program how what you associate with pleasure and which stuff gives you serotonin and endorphins and all those things.
I was over here at the blogcaster page. There's I got a lot of edit to do over there. I am so, like, not in practice of writing anything over there.
No.
For a couple of months, I've taken away.
You haven't done any writing for months.
2 months. No. I mean, over there at the blogcasting page. No, I'm doing other writing in paper.
Okay.
Not for publication.
Yeah.
And communicate. I've been doing some communication, and that this is what I need to bring to write. My friend just called from that very good friend at. From Vegas during the Bundy trials, he was speaking before air here, and I was telling him about what's going on. See, he didn't even understand still what that the state had come back to appeal. He thought that was all over with in the Bundy Ranch case. So I communicated with Maxine Bernstein in private message and asked her what to expect, and so. The during the week of the 23rd to the 27th of March next year, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit will be in Las Vegas that week, and they'll be hearing cases. Now, the state has appealed the dismissal with prejudice of the Bundy et al. Case. So if the court will decide to uphold the dismissal or to overturn it, and if they do, then the state would have to file charges again. When they release that information would be who knows when. So you know what I say about does he know that you have headphones on, Circle?
Yeah, I think maybe I had something running. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. I was poking Flash because he gives you a
hard time
when he...
I think I had something running. I didn't think about that. Oh, pardon me. I fixed it, Grimnir.
I'm just kidding. I'm just poking around with these guys.
Yes. See, it was me, I think. Please don't shoot me, right?
So anyways, yes, Maxine Bernstein, a big shout out to her because, you know, she doesn't have to take the time to communicate with me. But on the other hand, see, there was many of us that went to Vegas, and we stood there as, and I'll use this generic term and call it citizen journalists, okay, and called to account these people. I did publicly, I mean, like, in your face. Hey, mainstream, I'm here to call you to the carpet, all right? Hold your feet to the fire is the words I use. I'm still hearing that in the background. Bad
yeah,
audio
playing,
is a hate crime.
You were playing something in the background too, right?
Me, no.
Yeah.
Not I.
And okay, Sock Puppet, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll get that book. I'm just not ready for it. right now. Really like my cigarettes.
But anyway, so again, that's a big shout out to Maxine Bernstein. She
conversation.
She gave account when asked, and I mean, it's not like I would. I'm really hearing a lot of the echo in the background. Is it still going? It's 4:20 somewhere, so I'm going to take this moment and pause. And light this up. I may cough.
I think it's you.
I don't know how it's me. I have the same problem with flash. Are you guys hearing an echo downstream? Grimner said he's still hearing it. See, you know what? Let's hang up and maybe we ought to do a pause here and get Grimner to come in here. I'd like to fix this problem anyway. Shall we?
Okay.
Let me come in here and pause this recording.
It is. And it's Moose's birthday.
Look, Vinny, you're not coming through. You're not recording.
Was not part of the recording. See, that's the deal with you, Bopper. Good thing you didn't jump off. We'd be all like, "What? What happened? What happened?
What happened?" Yeah.
Crazy duck people.
All right. Well. Hopefully you're good.
I don't know. Am I back to the echo again?
Well, I'm not hearing it here, but they may be hearing it online.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Grimner.
There's Donna over in the RLM one channel on Wire.
Did you watch that video circle that I posted up there for you?
No.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to find that.
I'll post it into the chat here. It just came out today.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, Odin is
Hallelujah.
Odin is the god of IKEA.
Yes.
Donna says Big Papa scares the tech issues away.
All right, we'll talk to you.
Thanks. You, Grimner.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hey, what kind of Freakers Friday would it be if we wasn't getting...
It's Moose's birthday.
Yes, it is. Happy birthday to you. We can't sing it in the original tune because we might get copyrighted, right?
And I'm pretty sure my original tune is not the same as yours.
Okay, we have no echoes. Echoes.
Good.
It seems.
Good.
So
are you going to go to the Bundy trial thing then?
Yes, there's a lot that I'm having to enact to be able to do that. So it's a lot of things have to fall right in, and maybe have some pushes and some prods and some boosting behind to get her done. But I want to be there and sit in and listen for that week in the Court of Appeals.
And when is this?
It's March 23rd to the 27th.
Oh, okay.
5 days in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes. Is that far? Okay, far away is such a fun word. But in your mind, and I'm going to, live in the American far away kind of sizes, is it far away?
It's like, 1,500 miles away.
That's far away.
So far away.
How long does it take to drive there?
Well, depends on how many times you stop. If you're keeping that left door shut, it wouldn't take. You could do it in a full day. Anyways, you can drive. You can drive 1,000 miles in say 18 hours if you're keeping your door closed.
Okay. Okay, that's longer than the longest bus ride I've been on.
Oh, forget about the bus.
I think that's longer, right? Because I think the longest bus ride I've been on was from Denmark, Copenhagen to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I also did the bus from Denmark to Pau in...
I went from, I rode the bus around the whole country. I started in Arkansas and went to Texas and Tennessee and then Spokane and down to Washington, into Oregon and California and Vegas and up into Colorado and back down and up into Utah and back down and over to California and back and then back to Texas and then back home.
I remember both of those trips as fun. I don't remember them as being really boring or a hassle or annoying. I remember them as fun. Although the last time I went to Pau in we got really drunk on the bus. Really drunk. Because I was traveling with these crazy Yugoslavians, right? From Bosnia, and they were like Bosnians, real fun people, but they had these they were photographers, and they made movies and all that, and they did this movie festival in Motovun in Yugoslavia, and they were really fun, and we went to Prague for like 5 days or so in a bus, and we were so drunk once we got there. And for some reason, we picked the bus ride where they did a tour of the Theresienstadt Nazi camp, labor camp, Nazi camp, death camp, call them what you want, in Theresienstadt, which is the border, right across the border to the Czech Republic, right? And they have this, you go on this tour, and we were so drunk. And
is that like a public bus, like Greyhound in America's here?
Yeah.
Oh yeah? Yeah. And they don't care if you get drunk.
Not this one. Oh, yeah. No, because there is we had to take a ferry some of the way, and we got really drunk on the ferry.
It's a booze cruise.
No, not really, but we got really drunk.
Booze cruise ferry ride.
And the shit was because we had the Yugoslavians. I was traveling with Yugoslavians and Danes, right? We were like 15 people going or so. But because we had the three of the Yugoslavians, they had Yugoslavian passports. Every border we crossed all the way down there, we had to get out, and they did a full search and then all that. Because the Danish passports, they just go through, right? You have the EU passport, but the Yugoslavians didn't. So every time they went through, they had to get control, and they looked at all that. I remember because I was going to bring a little bit of hashish for my trip. And once one of those Yugoslavians figured out that I had that, he was like, we got to smoke it on the ferry. We got to smoke. You're not bringing that along because we're going to get searched every fucking border we're going to cross. And I was like, no, we're not. And he was like, you're traveling with Yugoslavians. We're going to get searched every border. I was like, okay, gotcha. So we had to smoke my entire stash on the ferry because we're like, I'm not going to toss it, dude. He's like, no, we smoke it. Yeah. So we just smoked and drank. And we were like,
Did they ever search you?
No, they searched the whole bus every time.
Oh.
You had to get out. And especially those three, they searched. They were searched.
They patted them down, what?
Yeah, yeah, and
turn their pockets
some of them
inside
like,
out.
Some of those borders took like 15 or 20 minutes where they were checking their papers, seeing if they had the right visas, what were their... they were checking all the papers because the Yugoslavians.
So not a part tell them, of the Hannah, EU. What's the deal with Yugoslavians, Hannah?
Well, they're not a part of the EU, right? As long as you have an EU passport, you have open borders, sort of. So you just go through.
So what would they do if their papers were not in order?
Then they would not have gotten through the border.
What, they just say, like, turn around? What about the country they were passing through? What would they do with them?
They would probably say, turn around where you can go. Right?
Go back the way you come?
Well, I do believe, I think actually that international UN laws dictate that the country that you get stuck in has to deal with you. But that doesn't really work because there are people who are trapped in airports for years.
Is that, that's really true. Yeah, there's like a movie about it or something.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So what countries were you going to? You left Denmark, took a ferry to where?
Germany.
Ferry over.
I have
to
no
Germany.
Idea. I think I don't know what we crossed down there. Yeah, maybe Germany borders with Czech. Maybe. I think we no, it doesn't because we went through more than those two borders. I suck at geography, man. You can look it up on the map, though, right?
I'm fixing to. I'm going to where I find my Vine Times at.
Yes.
I go to the
or maybe watch
zone,
the German
time and table,
and then
time
into the Czech Republic.
All right.
But then we entered that, finally in the morning we got there, right? You've been driving for, I don't know how long, in that bus. And you get to the really serious Nazi death camp, labor camp thing of Theresienstadt, right? And we were drunk and high. And and outside, it's really fun, because outside the where you enter the gates, where it says Arbeit macht frei and all that, they have a little shop where they sold vodka bottles, small vodka and whiskey and all that, and small Coke cans, and then all this souvenir from the death camp that you could bring along. So we kind of just got extra drunk at the death camp.
Really, that's in Germany, huh? So I'm over here. Let me go back. I was in.
You were doing the map.
Yeah, and so south of Copenhagen is Germany, and there's.
Yes.
I wonder if I could make that big. I might need to go to a better map. This is where I go find 420 zones. Yeah, let me go do that. Denmark. Do you all have like a glorious flag or anything? One that you can plant.
Glorious flag?
Yeah, glorious flag. Well, you know, like you could plant somewhere, like on the moon or Mars.
Denmark has a flag?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure they would, right?
Denmark invented the flag, dude.
Really?
All
right. Here we go. This
it fell from the heavens.
So
it
you
fell
only
from the heavens.
Amen.
We went to we went from we took the ferry from Germany from Denmark to Germany.
Did you go to the Netherlands or Belgium?
Yeah, I've been to the Netherlands, but that was a different trip. But then you go to Germany, and where is Czech? Oh, you can go straight from Germany to the Czech Republic. You go to Leipzig,
yes,
and Dresden. Yeah, and somehow here you should find the Theresienstadt. Theresienstadt. That's the name of the Nazi gas chamber, death camp that
they
went.
Oh, I see. Strasbourg, Luxembourg, and down below Frankfurt.
Mm-hmm. It should be.
So we got these are all different names now that the Slovenia and Slovakia and the Czechia, all these.
Yeah.
This has all changed the maps here.
Oh yeah, because they used to be more of one country, right?
Yeah, and then they had to break up. What and then Bosnia and that was in Serbia down there, Croatia. Those were some like real hard times. Of course, you go back in history, that was kind of like a little buffer there. Getting between the Turkey and Europe right there from Constantinople, and we had still have remnants of Muslim and Christian peoples in the regions. Yeah, that's Europe. You know, is small when you really think about it. Like.
Just look at how little itty-bitty Denmark is, right?
Yeah. And that's where...
I can take a train from one side, from Copenhagen up to the north Jutland of Denmark in 6 hours.
Denmark is like the maker of the flag, the original, right? Yeah, they are really the premier power to the Dutch East Indies Company. Really, that styles the world that we live in under the corporate fascist, whatever kind of tag you'd like to put onto the control
well,
of
the
government
story,
through corporation.
The story of the Danish flag is that we were losing the battle over in Lithuania and Estonia. We were losing a battle over there, and they prayed to the gods, and what God sent down was the flag. a red cloth with a white cross across it, and that gave spirits to the Danish warriors, and they won and fought and won the battle. And the king brought home the flag and made it the flag of the Danes. What it did do, Vinny, was that we suddenly had colors to put on each other, so when we're out there in the battlefield, we can see who are our friends and who are our enemies, and we don't start slaughtering each other.
Good idea, huh?
Yeah, not a bad idea when you're losing a battle.
Hmm.
To kind of, you know, get people together about something and make it visible and give them the colors so they can visibly see each other out. And I think that's what happened, but that's the story of the Danish flag.
I'm over here looking at the radio log, trying to how to put that in there somewhere. Right, yeah. I got not smoking. It's a modest proposal. I'm carrying on this idea of a modest proposal. How about not smoking and the Danish flag?
Mm.
I like it. Not smoking in a Danish. No. I don't know. This is all subject to something. Yeah. It's not a Danish flag. How do you spell Danish? It's not Danish, right? D-A-N. Do you get an extra N in there? What do you think?
No, just D-A-N-I-S-H.
All right. Well, I feel like that's kind of like a ripoff.
Oh.
To the Danes, yeah. It's such, done in such short amount of letters and might lead one to think that you're talking about some feller named Dan.
Yes.
The Danish flag. Who was this man, Dan? Well, he wasn't from Dane, the land of the Danes. This Dan.
No.
Yes. No, he was.
Yes.
Do you have people named Dan in Daneland?
Oh, a lot.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it makes sense then.
Yes.
Yeah. He was probably the founder, the original guy that wandered over from across the icebergs or something, maybe some stranded Viking.
The
overboard.
The name Denmark or Denmark means the fields of the Danes.
Yeah.
The fields of Dan.
Of Dan, which is Dan?
Dan. Dan. Yeah.
The fields of Dan. Ah, it all makes sense now. The fields of Dan.
And Grimnir, to answer your question, they sent it to the king. It fell from the heavens to the king, and from that he united his warriors under the flag and gave them spirit. And heathen scum, Grimnir, why would you prove it if the gods gave it to you and if they gave it to the king, then it must be true.
See?
Yeah.
Damn.
A lot of, well, that is, you know, I think there's one theory that, because there was a Jewish family under the god Abraham, blah, blah, named Dan, and one story is he traveled north, and he is the one who founded the Danes.
Who is it? Tell me again.
Some Jewish guy named Dan.
Is that what you're saying, or what they're saying, or...?
Yeah, I it's that's not the official story in Denmark.
No, it's not.
No.
Okay. So
no.
He went.
No, the official story in Denmark is that we come from people that walked and traveled from Africa all the way up to Europe and got longer and longer and wider and wider.
That's the official
story, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah? That they slowly migrated up through.
Less sun on the skin leads to less pigmentation, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
How long does it take? It takes a long time to walk that far, I reckon.
I know. Donna is writing in the RLM because she obviously knew the story about the tribe of Dan.
I see. There's a Nano War Steel 2 Valhalla. I bet that's like. Is that going to be. I wonder if that is heavy metal. Is that a mustache? I can't make it out. It is a mustache, I think. Wow, that's huge. It's like it could have its own zip code.
No, I specified Van Meter. I said Jewish guy. Right? Some Jewish guy. Brother of Bob. A good thing Bob didn't walk north, though, right? Then we would be Bob Mark. That would just be ridiculous. What are you? Are you? I'm a bopper. See? Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was Dan. Would you like to live in Bob Mark? No. Then we would need to have our prime minister and new king as butt geek. I really hope you vote that guy in America next time.
Who?
Butt geek.
I don't know who that is.
I still can't say it without giggling though. You have a politician named Peter Butt Geek, I think. He's a Democrat. He's running for the Democrats.
I have no idea.
Well, you need to vote for him, Vinny.
I am not voting, though.
Oh, please do, because we need the memes. Can you imagine the memes if you have President Butt Geek?
It would be perfect. It would be perfect.
See?
The world would be complete.
Oh, wow. They try to say that that's not how you say his name. But really, you remember the bouquet lady from... No,
no,
bucket. You
what?
Don't remember the bouquet lady?
From where?
Oh, it's a British TV series, Keeping Up Appearances.
I know her name.
Yeah, her name is Bucket, right? Hyacinth Bucket, but she pronounces it bouquet.
Oh, yeah. You may have been...
No.
Maybe you shared a year or so back, you shared some of that when I watched a little bit of it. Maybe that's where I know it from. Yeah, the... British TV has always been kind of weird to me, mostly.
Are you kidding me? You never saw Young Ones?
I don't know.
The most brilliant TV show ever made?
I don't know. I wonder if it's on YouTube.
You got to see Young Ones, man.
Do it. Let's see. Spell it. Do a dot YT for YouTube and chat and see.
Young Ones.
Yeah. Young Ones.
Young Ones.
Let me try.
I'll give you a link.
That'd be
brilliant.
Like coming up on it.
And you have to see the first episode first, because they fit. It's a sitcom from... Okay, this is... Yeah, okay, here's the first one.
Pat juice.
Pat juice. But see, we gotta vote. See, you gotta vote for Butt Geek. We gotta get President Butt Geek.
All right, I'm gonna have to like hit stop real quick when this opens.
You gotta watch that. That is the most brilliant
season one, episode one. Demolition. Yeah. Oh, you know what? We never even got too far into talking about this into life. Flash said evolution, what did he say? Extinction, yeah. Extinction or evolution. Where are we going? Where are we headed? Let's delve in a little bit as we go out towards the top of the hour. Where are we headed as the totalness of the world here and man and all the inhabitants and where we've been and where we're going?
But why would we... Okay, I can't answer that question, really. Because that indicates that there's some quality that we need to reach, or there's some one way or a right way or a wrong way, and how far are we from that?
Oh, man, a long way, huh, I think.
I think we are evolving. And for better and worse, we are evolving. And there are plenty of things. And I'm pretty sure that we are becoming more and more intelligent when it comes to mathematics and science and understanding and language and all that. I'm pretty sure that in that direction and creativity, innovation, we are we're in progress. We're not declining there.
I think we are kind of have a really big chance of moving ahead in leaps and bounds.
Yes.
But we are opposed by, well, John Kennedy said.
Well, there are two sides to theories of evolution, or whatever, how you're going to say it, right? But there are some people who believe that evolution is a slow process that happens smoothly, right? Slowly over many generations. And then there is the theory that evolution also or mainly happens in big leaps. You know, that you have a lot of period of nothing happening and then something triggers a big leap in some direction.
Yeah.
So there's the thing about the spontaneous evolution where all of a sudden something threatens you or something changes or something comes or and the evolution kicks forward in a big step, in a big leap.
The hopeful monster, as it's called.
Hmm. But you opened the question of are we declining or are we
kind of both, really, I see it. We have a chance, but will it happen or not? There's a big chance. This is a monumental time in history, I do believe, where mankind has the chance and opportunity to choose to be free. Whether that will come in enough numbers to overcome the occupation that holds us with our head underwater, gasping for bubbles.
I think humans, or when we look back at least, right, we tend to get really involved with something, and then after a certain period, a counter thing comes that would change everything and balances out, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of points through history.
We did that.
Roman, yeah, you know, the gladiator or the, what was the guy, Spartacus and all that.
Whether it be history
or fable or fame, changes do come. Sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. But I see a striving forward for reaching for freedom.
But I think that maybe after a long period of all this digital world and virtual world and all that that we're really into right now, where we're almost not out in the real world, right?
Right.
People are watching movies about trees instead of going out to be with trees. And I think as a counter to that, it's something that's going to pull us in the completely different direction at some point, because people are going to get fed up with that.
See, do I have this? I have to refresh it. That that author did the science fiction guy, Grimner, called them the Rodney Dangerfield of sci-fi. Let's see. I have to go back a ways to catch him. Man, I listened to all them songs since then. No, I must have missed it. What was it, Grimner? What's his name? I was pretty sure I had this open, or maybe I just didn't see it. Passed it by. There it is. Yeah. Harlan Ellison. There was that and another. Yes, the Reaper Man. That was pretty good. It's talking about the mayfly's perspective of the great trout and the rings in the water that expand and where they go to this great place of. And then they don't even know because mayflies, I guess, don't eat. So it's all a matter of perspective in the ponder gander, our way of wandering through this life. And so we search not where we can oppose one another, but where we can come together in accord and agreement and a sense of knowing fair play. And that's sometimes where the there's the opposition that is completely not that, right? Wants to keep us into this terrible system of death and destruction. So
I'm going to be counting on the counter movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Denmark, we have a saying where we say, if you, let me see if I can translate this. If you tighten the noose, you're going to kill the baby, right? You're going to kill the child. And that really means...
Keeping them on a leash, like keeping them too close, trying to hold them back and so
yeah.
forth.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that really means that at some point, if you're going to keep human beings constrained or limited or in austerity or some of that, you're going to kill the baby. And people are gonna not want that. At some point, they can live with it for so far, but at some point,
the child grows to a point that you can't hold. Continue to hold.
Yeah. Because that's really the thing of it, right? Two points in this, right, is the first of all, the understanding of power. What is power and what is the discourse of power and how does power really work? And once you start looking into power, you realize one, you know, like really whoa thing, which is that the submissive part is the one who holds all the power. And that is the truth of power. That's the true nature of power, that only the submissive one has the power of choice in the relationship. The dominant one is constantly relying and depending on the submissive one to submit.
Yeah.
So the only one who has power in that relationship, when you look at it as of who can control the situation, is the submissive one.
Yeah, makes good sense.
So that's one part about power, right?
It's very cool. Good way to look at it.
But that's the only way, that is what power's nature is that whoever, it's about the choice. But of course, there's going to be consequences, because the dominating part has the choice of killing you, or beating you, or kidnapping you, or using force, or all that. But you really always, the submissive part has the power of choice, because that's a consequence. That doesn't mean you don't have the choice. You see how consequences and choices are separated. They're separated actions.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have your action, mm-hmm. and there is some reaction to it, but you always have the action of saying no, I'm not going to do this, or no, I'm not going to submit to you anymore, and then you bring on the force or the violence, you know, depending on what kind of nasty dominance you're up against. And in that state is probably the most nasty dominant you can be up against.
Then there's those where you get to incorporate into willfully, right? What's the difference between the slave and the servant?
Well, because the dominant one has no choice in this. I understand. How do you have, because it makes, when you just look at it, you go, no, the dominant has the power. Yeah, that's what people, and that's what the discourse wants you to understand. But once you start looking at it, and you start looking at it from choices, the dominant has no choice if he wants to stay in that power discourse. The dominant can choose to leave it. But then he's got no dominance, then that's it. He is, if he wants to be dominant, if you want to be dominant, you are in that being relying on someone to submit to it.
Right.
So you are completely depending your power. If that's how you get your power, is from other people submitting it to you, then you are completely relying and depending on other people giving it to you. And you do not give your way your power once. No, you are constantly harvesting. You're constantly being power.
What about
you have to submit to it every second, every moment of your life, because you can always, at any point, you just have the choice of saying, "I'm not going to give you my power no more."
But you can choose also not as being dominant or submissive. You can choose to give to another, like say in marriage. All right.
Yeah.
Go in as equals.
Yeah, then you make a third one. You made a third whole, or yeah, you're complementary in some way, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So did you get that anti?
Everything is not about power, but when you enter power, when you're into the power, and you start looking at it, then you will see that they flip-flopped it around for you. They made it look like you have no choice. Do everything you are being taught about power is that when you're submissive, when you're a slave, when you're under control, when you have no power. That's the lie that makes the dominance work. But it's a lie. But it's the lie that, and dominant people, you know, the dominant.
Are you kind of confining this to personal relationships or past in?
Whatever relationships there is.
Yeah,
you always, no matter how big the power is, you always have the choice of not obeying, of not submitting to it. And then there comes a reaction that just, you know, very well be death, right? That's a big...
comply or die from the dominant one, in other words.
Exactly. Yeah. They can use all that. There is all that force and power. But you still have the choice. Everything can get you out of this. You have the choice to kill yourself.
So you're saying we have the choice from every aspect of our relationships.
Yes.
Do or don't, right?
Yeah.
And if you... Anti was trying to get the distinction here from... who has the power? Who's the one that gets to choose? The one that chooses to submit.
You choose to submit, and you have to keep choosing the submission, right?
But that's not always a bad thing either. You choose to submit.
No, there are plenty of beautiful relationships, and we do that with people we like in a good way all the time. Mm. We submit to each other, and then I submit to you, and you submit to me, and we receive, and we let other people give us stuff, and that's a submission too.
To a how would you call it? Another power, did you say? Or a third power or a third party in a sense?
When you take two, when you merge two things together, they become a third, right?
Uh-huh. Right. Not the same as they were before.
If you merge them?
Uh-huh.
No.
Very good. Yeah. Like it.
But see, then, because we were talking about the... privileged thing, right, on chat the other day, or I was, because I was making pancakes, and you got me to thinking about the privileged things, and what are privileges, and I'm going to define a privilege as how many choices are given or offered to you, and the key words here are offered or given to you. So how many choices does the world, society, people around you offer and give you? That would be my definition of how privileged are you.
Yeah, a lot of times it's a black and white or yes or a no or this side or the other. People demand that definition from you. And it's not always the two-sided.
I don't think you can define it as something that superficial as the color of your skin or not even the class you are in the society or where you are and all that shit. I don't think you can use all those purely social economic variables to explain it, right?
You're right. Hey, we paused there for a little while, but coming up on about an hour. So I'm going to round her out and close out from Dave. Hey, I appreciate you coming on. I'm still looking for my radio voice coming back here. hopefully next week it will be. I'll probably look to be jumping over here and throwing a chain around Flash to Mark. I see Grammy, she's broke loose, so I'll probably have to come over here. I'd not cough some. Wait, I had a cough.
No, keep coughing. It's smoking.
No, it was it's like a little stuff left over coming up, right? In the way, get out of the way. That's why, yeah, it was either smoke or talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then,
I'm just telling you, Vinny, the more you cough, the lungs are going to get scratched and itched and full of scar tissue, and it's not good for the lungs to cough. So you want to keep it down, and your lungs produce more and more slime to keep up with the damage you do when you're coughing.
Yeah,
so that's why you keep
trying to clean the hairs off in there.
Just do a 2-minute meditation and get back to your breath, and it will go away.
Hey, thanks,
yes.
Circle.
Have a good one.
All right,
and Roger. Happy birthday, Moose.
Yes, happy birthday, Friday the 13th, the full moon, Friday, Freaker's Ball. Freaker's Friday. I should stop.